Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. Good to have you with us here today for our Congregation at Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It's Monday, October 25th, 2021. We continue our catechesis through the book of 1 Kings, now in chapter 14. And we'll hear about the house of Jeroboam and ultimately his death. All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, we say our memory verse for this week together. All of our memory work, whether it's the verse, or also the catechism, and also the hymn, all three will connect, of course, together to the person of Jesus Christ. All right? So, let's say it together. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7, verse 14. All right, for the sake of memory, let's say it one more time. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Our psalm this week is Psalm 130. We say it together. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, our first reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds, every one of you all abounds towards each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing which with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes. In that day, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There ends the reading. That's good. Let's read our reading then from 1 Kings chapter 14. I'm going to make one change here. All right, that should be good. At that time, Abijah the son of Jeroboam became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Please arise and disguise yourself, that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Indeed, Ahijah the prophet is there, who told me that I would be king over this people. Also take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did. Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. Now the Lord had said to Ahijah, "Here is the wife of Jeroboam coming to ask something about her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus you shall say to her, for it will be, when she comes in, that she will pretend to be another woman." And so it was, when Ahijah heard the sound of the footsteps as she came through the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad news. Go tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, to do what it was right in my eyes. But you have done more evil than all who were before you, for you have gone and made for yourself other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free. I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as one takes away the refuse until it is all gone. The dogs shall eat whatever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city, whoever, I should say, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field, for the Lord has spoken. Arise, therefore, go to your own house. When you enter the city, the child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. This is the day, what even now? For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from the good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned and who made Israel sin. Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. When she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, indeed they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. The period that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years. So he rested with his fathers. Then Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. All right, there ends the reading. Scroll back up here. Okay, so who became ill? We have Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, right? And what did Jeroboam then direct his wife to do? Yeah, to disguise herself and to go to Shiloh to see the prophet, right? And of course, she took with her, it says there, verse 3, 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, right? And of course, the prophet here is Ahijah. This is the prophet in chapter 14. Of course, we know this Ahijah character. That was back in 1 Kings chapter 11. Remember him from there? He's the one that promised, how's it go there? Yeah, Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite met him on the way and clothed himself, etc., etc. Behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give 10 tribes to you. Right? So that's the same prophet. Of course, now it's quite a bit later, and Ahijah is blind. But how could Ahijah still see, even though his eyes were glazed over by age? Yeah, it's right there in verse 5. The Lord had said to Ahijah, right? So he could see with his ears. We talk about that quite a bit. What word did Ahijah speak to Jeroboam's wife? Yeah, I think in particular here, verses 8 and 9, we can scroll to that. Yeah. He reminded Jeroboam, by way of his wife, that the Lord had given him the kingdom, but that Jeroboam had rejected the Lord's word, made idols for himself, right? All right, so what's then the meaning of verses 10 and 11 here about cutting off every male from Jeroboam in Israel, bond and free, and then about the bit about the dogs and the birds? All right, we have the whole house of Jeroboam being destroyed. All his male descendants would perish. And what's going on in verse 11? I mean, it's pretty horrendous, right? All their remains would be consumed even before they could be buried, right? Warfare here. So the dogs would devour them in the city and the birds, carrion birds in the country. And then how should we understand that phrase right at the end of verse 11? For the Lord has spoken. All right. The Lord does what he says. When the Lord speaks his word, it takes place. Just like in Genesis 1, right? And God said, let there be light. And there was light, right? God separated the light from the darkness, etc. What's the connection then between verse 6 here at the top? All right. When Ahijah heard the sound of the footsteps as she came through the door, he said, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad news. Compare that to verse 12. Arise, therefore, go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. Yeah, notice that there's feet in both of them. He heard the sound of her footsteps, right? And then in verse 12, when your feet enter the city, right? Her feet are what are bringing, or it's what brought her to hear the word of the Lord by the prophet, and then her feet are going to be the one carrying out that word as well. All right, and of course you can think of the prophet Isaiah, right? Blessed are, how good are the feet of those who preach the good news to the poor, right? Yeah, but here it's a word of law. Still God's word. Was Abijah treated cruelly by God then? I think verse 13 indicates no. Yes, he was sick, and yes, he will die. But notice Abijah is commended by faith because the Lord God found something good in him, right? That is faith. Unlike all the other descendants of Jeroboam, he would come to the grave. He would be buried. So it's interesting. I think just like what we saw in the 2 Thessalonians reading, but here as well, there's hints of the poor Lazarus and the rich man, that parable from Jesus, right? That we don't look to the experience of this life to indicate our eternal welfare, our eternal salvation, right? So this Ahijah, the son, I mean, he's sick and he's going to die, but he actually dies in faith, despite his parents, despite his countrymen, all right? Same thing with Thessalonians, if we scroll back up to that for a minute. This is what I was going to talk about. I was thinking about talking about here. Yeah, look at here in verse 16. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, that's eternal tribulation, and to give you who are troubled now, see that in verse 7, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, right? So ultimately, we won't experience what we believe by faith until the resurrection, namely that the Lord has shown favor on us, that he has forgiven us, that he loves us, and that everything that he has won in his Son is ours even now, right? There are signs and tokens of that in our baptism, in the supper, in the preaching of the word, in the word of absolution, right? But we won't see it or experience it fully, face-to-face, in the body, etc., until the resurrection, all right? And it's the same thing here, right? You could look to the earthly experience as an indication of God's hatred, but it's not true. Ahijah is commended because the Lord found, or rather put in him, faith. That's the goodness of the Lord. So there's a little bit of a good news right in the middle of that, right? From the word of Ahijah. Excuse me, Abijah is the son, Ahijah is the prophet. Easy to get him confused. All right. Of course, what else does the Lord promise here in verse 14? That he would raise up a king to destroy Jeroboam's family, if you didn't already get that picture. And what was the prophet talking about then here in verse 15 and 16? We're moving even a little bit further along in the timeline, right? That because of what Jeroboam has introduced, this worship of false gods, which of course is not really any better than what Solomon had introduced before him for Israel. This would ultimately lead God to send Israel into captivity across the river. And Israel, despite the country that we call Israel today, would never be restored. That is faithful Israel, God's people. Now, only Judah and Benjamin would actually survive the exile by the Assyrians and then later the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. All right. So he's telegraphing forward here. All right, and then, of course, we go back to the narrative. What happens when Jeroboam's wife returns to Tirzah? That's right, the boy died just as the Lord had said would happen by Ahijah. And how long did Jeroboam then rule? It says there for 22 years, with Nadab, his son, reigning in his place. Of course, you can already guess what's going to happen to Nadab as well, right? Okay. So here's a summary meditation on the text. Though God had graciously chosen Jeroboam to be the ruler of Israel, Jeroboam did not live by faith in God's promise to him. Jeroboam immediately erected a competing god in the image of the rebellion at Mount Sinai. Remember the golden calves? He forgot the God who brought Israel out of Egypt and gave her this land in which he ruled. He failed to walk in the ways of David. Then that is, he did not repent and believe in the forgiveness of sins. The seriousness of the sin of idolatry is seen in the judgment. God would not even allow the bodies that he had created to be buried, except for that of the faithful son, Abijah. But note well how long-suffering God is. He spoke of the destruction and exile of Israel, but that would not take place for nearly 200 years. During that time, he would send Elijah and Elisha to call sinners to repentance. All right. So God, despite this prophecy from prophet, 200 years, God is long-suffering and patient, not wishing that any sinner die, but that all come to repentance and believe in the gospel. Let's confess the second article, speaking of how God delivers that gospel to us. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me, from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. We pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. to redeem us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, taking all of the punishment that we deserved for our sin upon himself. He descended into hell, proclaiming his victory over the devil, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, preaching the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life in his name to the whole world. We give thanks to you for all that your Son has done for us. Help us to know and believe in Jesus. He has now ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand as our Savior and Lord. All the enemies of sin, death, and hell have been placed under his feet, and he now rules over all things for the sake of his church. Give us fervent faith in Jesus and the blessed hope that he will come again to judge the living and the dead, giving the gift of eternal salvation to all who believe in him. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's pray our collect for this week. O Lord, keep your household, the church, in continual godliness, that through your protection she may be free from all adversities and devoutly given to serve you in good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray this day for faith to live in the promises of holy baptism, for all vocations and daily work, for the unemployed, for the salvation and well-being of our neighbors, for our schools, our homeschools, our colleges and seminaries, and for good government and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray today in thanksgiving with Timothy and Valerie, who both celebrate their birthday. Yesterday, Whitney celebrated her baptism. Pray for our households, especially that of Kevin, Dennis, Stephanie, Chad and Jolene, Jeremy, Russ and Amy. We continue to give thanks to God for the labor and effort to rehab our teacherage. Pray for those who are ill, receiving treatment or recovering, especially Tristan, Marcella, Kelsey, Ron, Joel, Amanda, Dan, and John, Timothy, Janice, Sandy, Ken, Norman, Sandy, Kathy, and Mike. We pray for our homebound Bev, David, Roy, Willis, Mickey, and Paul, the missions and mercy work of the church, that is Orphan Grain Train this month. Continue to pray in intercession for a denial of self among us. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Today we have a commemoration of faithful women, Dorcas, that is Tabitha and the rest. Let me see here. Excuse me. Yes. Dorcas, that is Tabitha, Lydia, and Phoebe, the faithful women. These women were exemplary Christians who demonstrated their faith by their material support of the church. Dorcas, also known as Tabitha, was well known and much loved for her acts of charity in the city of Joppa, especially when making clothes for the poor. When Dorcas died suddenly, the members of her congregation sent to the neighboring city of Lydda for the Apostle Peter, who came and raised her from the dead, Acts 9:36-41. Lydia was a woman of Thyatira who worked at Philippi, selling a famous purple dye that was in much demand in the ancient world. She was also a worshiper of God at the local synagogue, Acts 16:14. When the Apostle Paul encountered her in prayer among other proselyte women, his preaching of the word brought Lydia to faith in Christ. She and her friends thus became the nucleus of the Christian community in Philippi. See Acts 16:13-40. Phoebe was another faithful woman associated with the Apostle Paul. She was a deaconess from Cenchreae, the port of Corinth, whom Paul sent to the church in Rome with his epistle to the Romans. In it, he writes of her support for the work of the early church, Romans 16:1-20. Let us pray. Almighty God, you stirred up to compassion the hearts of your dear servants, Dorcas, Lydia, and Phoebe, to uphold and sustain your church by their devoted and charitable deeds. Give us the same will to love you, open our eyes to see you in the least ones, and strengthen our hands to serve you and others. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, our hymn this week, I neglected to get it ready here, is Salvation Unto Us Is Come, which is written by one of Luther's friends and contemporaries there in Wittenberg, who studied in Wittenberg, Paul Spiratus. And the reason we choose it, of course, is it's a wonderful confession of who Christ Jesus is, which is the focus of our catechesis, or at least our memorization this week. And the other aspect of it, of course, is that it's a wonderful synopsis of the doctrine of the Reformation, the Church of the Reformation, which, of course, we're going to recognize on Sunday the 31st with Reformation Day. Next week, we'll do the second half of the hymn. This week, we do the first half. All right? All right, so let's sing.
that as the law must be fulfilled, or we must die despairing, Christ came and has God's anchor still, our human nature sharing. As for us, the
All right, so good to have you with us here today for our Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. Come to you each morning at 9 a.m., and you can pray with us through the Scriptures. If I haven't told you this before, the schedule of prayer, it's actually a three-year schedule, all right? So you know about the three-year lectionary, which is one of the options for Sunday morning readings. We follow the one-year lectionary, I think. I prefer that. Well, it's all I've really known except for my childhood, but it's all my entire pastoral ministry. It's been my preference. The reason is that it becomes a regular catechetical life of the church that we hear each year the same set of scriptures. If you do the three-year, you get about 30% more scripture because most of what you hear is repetition just from one or more of the gospels, all right? At least that's in regards to the gospel text. Then, but in our daily readings here, the Congregation of Prayer, which you can do at home or you can do obviously here, we do it in the school as a whole school. Those will cover 3 years of readings, all right? So you get quite a bit more coverage than you would with just Sunday morning, because Sunday morning presumes that you actually show up every week, which for one or more reasons that may not be the case, right? So. So it's worth the discipline. Stick with it. We've been now going since, the end of March 2020. So now we're into about a year and a half of that schedule. And soon, we won't get any repetition for quite a while yet. All right. So Lord be with you all. Keep you safe. We'll see you later. Not for lunch, but for prayer tomorrow. All right. God be with you.